Hello and good evening. Welcome to the evening service of Little Hill Church. My name is Ash. I'm from the church here. I still remember over 5 years ago when we came to this church for the first time, and the preacher was Dalton King, and today the preacher is also Dalton King. Well, as you know, we stayed, as you might have gathered. Let's go through some notices before we proceed. On Monday, we have the church council meeting. That's tomorrow. And that will be at 7:30 p.m. And we also have the little ones at Little Hill at 1:30 in the afternoon on Monday. Then on Tuesday, the 14th, at 10 in the morning, we have the ladies' fellowship. And the ladies are discussing a very interesting question. Is it right for you to be angry? That's from Jonah 4, verses 1 to 11. And on Thursday, the 16th, there will be the Lord's Supper at 7:45. That will be led by Mike Smith. But before that, at 9:30 in the morning, we have warm space. And on Friday, the 17th, at 6 p.m., we have Kids Club. And at 7:30 p.m., we have Youth Club. And next Sunday, morning service, Nathan Pomeroy is preaching. And in the evening, our very own James Ardley will be preaching. Let's come to our Lord in prayer now. Let us pray. Let us praise God and thank Him for all that He has done for us. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for drawing us away from the broad path that leads to destruction into the narrow path that leads to eternal life. We were, and we still are, a fallen people, pursuing diverse lusts, satisfying ourselves, pursuing the things of the world, with no thought of the future, or that there is a God watching. But we thank You, Father, for intervening in our lives, for turning us round and putting us into the narrow path that leads to eternal life. We walked in darkness, but now You have called us into Your marvelous light. We didn't deserve it, Father. We thank You. The Bible tells us that You chose us before the foundation of the world. We are awed by this, and we can scarcely understand it. We praise You, Father. We praise You for the great plan of salvation. This world should have been destroyed long ago, but You have persisted. You have shown great patience. You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. It had no meaning for us earlier, but now it has every meaning for us. We are in the elect. We who trust in You are in the elect. And we have put our trust in You, not because we are wise and clever people, but because You gave us the gift of faith. We thank You, Father, for that also. So here we are, all gathered together to hear Your word, which is a lamp unto our feet, which guides us. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us this evening as we hear about Your word. And we pray for the preacher, Dalton King, as he brings us Your word, that what he preaches will be from the Holy Spirit and not from his mouth, and that will move hearts and draw those You have chosen to draw to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I will extol You, my God and King, and bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let us now stand and sing hymn number 125. Hymn number 125, Immortal Honors Rest on Jesus' Head.
Thank you.
let us now bring forth to our God some petitions and things that exercise our hearts. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation to begin with. The people are struggling with various problems like the cost of living increases and the shortage of food sometimes in supermarkets. We pray, Father, that people would not lose hope, that there is no hope, may not be hope in the leaders of this world, but there is hope in the Bible. Godlessness is spreading in this country. What the Bible teaches has been swept aside. We pray, Father, that parliamentarians in the country would not undo the very Christian heritage that makes this country a beacon of hope for those from persecuted lands. Father, we are worried about the normalization of what the Bible calls sin, the legalization of sin. Father, we are worried that rather than the Bible telling us what is right and wrong, culture tells us what is right and wrong. Lobby groups are trying to change policy. Father, we pray that people would come back to the Bible, that Christians may stand up for the faith, that struggling churches may find Christians to keep going. We pray for the open-air mission. We pray for street preachers. There are dark forces that is trying to prevent the preaching of your word, Father. Foreign people come to this country from many lands, and we should be able to preach the gospel freely to them. We pray that there will not be a muffling and stifling of preaching in this country. Father, we are worried about the war in Ukraine. We note sadly these are the terrible consequences of the fall of man. But there is hope only in Christ, and we pray that people would realize what happens when people are allowed to do as they like and follow the devil. We take comfort, Father, that you will build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We pray for sound preaching in churches. We pray that the Christian doctrine be taught and that churches would not succumb to entertainment. We are very sad to see, Father, that some churches have replaced sermons with entertainment. They have done away with sermons altogether. But as you have told us, Father, in the book of Acts, what Christians must come together to do in a church. We are sad, Father, that children are being given the Lord's Supper in some churches. We pray for our church, Father. We pray for our Pastor Josh, who's away on a sabbatical. We pray that he would have a refreshing time and come back fully recharged when he does so. We know this will increase the workload of our elders, and we pray that they will know your comforting hand as they lead the church so faithfully, as they have done for so many years. Father, some of our church members are in hospital. Some are seriously ill. Some are in care. We pray for them, Father, that God has a plan. God is in charge. Not a hair falls from our head. You have said in your word, Father, aren't two sparrows sold for a farthing, and not one falls to the ground without your knowing about it. We know we have to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, but we know that you are with us and will guide us, and we put our trust in you. We trust and obey, for there's no other way. Father, many international students come in great numbers nowadays. We pray that more of them will come to this church and hear the truth, the only truth from the Bible in this church. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now have the Bible reading. And it'll be from Jonah 1. And Nelu will read that.
Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Amen.
Thank you, Neela. We'll now stand and sing from the supplement number 65. Number 65, "O the mercy of God, the glory of grace."
Thank you. leading. Thank you, Nilu, for ringing. Reading, even. Thank you very much. And Ash, we're glad that you're still here after 5 years. That's great. And my name is Dalton King. I'm one of the members here. And warm welcome to those of you online again. Glad that you've been able to join with us, and that's great. Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we feel a sense of unworthiness. We feel how much we need help. But Lord, we look to you tonight. We thank you that you're our Saviour. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us, Lord. And we thank you that because he lives, we can face tomorrow, those of us who know and love you. And Lord, we pray if there's any who have come in this evening, perhaps fed up with life, perhaps feeling what's the purpose of life, oh Lord, we pray, draw near to such a one. Thank you, Lord, that we can say, as we've read in your word, that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that you went all the way to Calvary for us. And thank you for what it means to trust in you, that we can have a new hope, a new direction in our life, and a new purpose. And Lord, for the believer, one day we know that we're marching. This is not our home, but we're marching to Zion, that beautiful city of our God. So Lord, we pray that you'll draw near to us. And for those, Lord, who perhaps are hurting inside, if there's any, perhaps listening online, Lord, who are feeling quite hurt inside and going a very difficult time, please, Lord, draw near to them. May they know that comfort that only comes from you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I was surprised and shocked. I read the welcome sheet and I noticed that the ladies meet in there looking at Jonah. Well, maybe Tuesday I need to turn up to see where I've gone wrong. So I need to, I don't know whether they'll allow me to sneak in somewhere to see what I've said or done wrong. But do you know, Jonah, the book of Jonah, is absolutely incredible. And it's amazing. We say it every time, isn't it? Even familiar books that we all know so well, or we think we know it so well, when we read it through slowly, we suddenly realise, do you know, I've missed this bit, and I've missed that bit, and oh, is that really in it? And so tonight, it's absolutely incredible. The verse that we're going to, our text, is actually verse 3 in chapter 1. But although we're going to say that's our text, we cannot just look at chapter 1 without looking at chapter 1, 2, 3 and 4. So don't worry, we're not going to be long. But it's so incredible, this book. It's found directly as part of one of the 12 minor prophets, the book of Jonah. It's right there in the middle of the prophetic books. It's incredible, though, that when you look at Jonah, he's a prophet. But actually, did he really prophesy? He uttered about 8 words to the people of Nineveh. And, well, 8, you could say, a prediction, prophecy, but really, he didn't really prophesy. And in fact, he was a man who was really running away from God, as we know. And so it really is fascinating when we look at this man, Jonah, and it sort of as a way of introduction, we know there it's in the Old Testament. We don't know an awful lot about him other than as we see in verse 1. Have a look in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. We don't know much about Amittai, his father. And again, we don't know an awful lot in one sense about Jonah other than his name. And again, I found this out this week. And I thought, after all these years, Don, didn't you? But I found his name, not only, and for years I knew that it meant dove, but I didn't realise that it appears again in 2 Kings. Did you know that? 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 to 25. There you are. And King Jeroboam was in charge at the time, Jeroboam the second. And so Jonah was a messenger at that time. But here we have him, the whole, this book, and part of this book, really, we just see the narrative, his experiences as a prophet. I keep saying prophet, almost like inverted commas, because he didn't want to pronounce what God wanted him to do. He wanted to run away. So it really is quite unique and different. And there's one or two other very interesting things that I hope to just mention a little later about Jonah. So let's have a look. We know the story. We pick it up here in Jonah chapter 1. And it's interesting, really, and I thought I'd do this so that you could all see, I call him the runaway, but you may not be able, I hope you can see it from there, hopefully you can see it at the back there, and I can see it now. But Jonah, in chapter 1, you know where he was told to go. He was told to go to where? Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was where? Around about 500 or so miles away, but as we know, if you look here in verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. Now, that was well over 2,000 miles or so. So, he so wanted to get away from God that he wanted to journey all over four times the journey. Can you imagine that? And he's, what, a prophet? Man proclaiming God's word, should be concerned for the loss, and yet he was willing to make a journey over four times the norm because he wanted to get away from God. And I just wanted just to put that map up there just to give us an idea, you know, that this was serious stuff. He really wanted to get away from God. And so we have our text, as I mentioned already, just a little bit about Nineveh, what he should have done. There was round about 120,000 people there. It was a wicked city. And Jonah didn't like the Ninevites because God's people, they were captured by them. And he thought, we want nothing to do with them. They're horrible people, the Assyrians. Do we want to save them? I don't want to go there. And it was almost as if Jonah was trying to dictate to God. And you know, we can't do that, can we? God is sovereign, and he's the one who must have his way. And so, we look at our text. Let me read it again. Well, I know it's there for you. Verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go into Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So what I want to do tonight, very quickly, now it's not 3 points, but four simple points. So point number one, Jonah running from God. Point number two, Jonah running to God. Interesting. Not trying to be clever, but it's interesting there. And then the third point, Jonah running with God. And then finally, Jonah running ahead of God. You know what I mean. I'm trying to think of the word.
Metaphorically.
Thank you. My wife's then Joan and moved it. Okay. And really, we're going to see how we go. Okay, so the first point, let's have a look at that. That first point then with Jonah running from God. Now, little did Jonah realize, and really, he should have realized, and this is a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson for me. Whenever you're not walking with the Lord, it's interesting that we always seem to go down. It's always a downward spiral, isn't it, when we're not walking with the Lord? It's never an upward spiral. What do I mean by that? Well, you'll find one of the first things Jonah did was that we find here he went down four times. Okay? And you're going to see what I mean in a moment. So we've got the verse there. And as we look at the verse, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the first thing I want you to notice about running from God, and I've already mentioned one of them, is running down. So what do I mean? Well, here's the first point. He went down to Joppa, verse 3. Why was he going down? Why was he going down? That's a question I'm asking everybody. Why was Jonah going down? He was going down because what? He was running away. That's right, he was running away from God. I know I'm saying the obvious. He's running away. And the point that I've just made, point number one, we always seem to go down. So we went down to Joppa. The second thing is, he went down into the hold of the ship. The hold, the very bottom of the ship. Again, what was he trying to do? He was trying to get away from God. Isn't it sad? And you would have thought, Jonah perhaps, you know, in his right mind, would have thought, God is a God of creation. He's the God that's created everything. I can't get away from him, can I? But more and more, he was going down. Down to Joppa, and remember our point, running from God. Down to the hold of the ship, verse 4. If you look at verse 4, even though we're trying to get away, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And of course, all the people around there were afraid. There was, well, you know, what's going on? So I won't get lost in all the narratives there, because I know many of us are familiar with that story. But he went down to the bottom. But what was he doing when he went down to the hold? Can someone tell me, when he got down to the very bottom of the ship, what was he doing whilst he was down in the bottom? Fast asleep. Absolutely incredible. Sleep. There's a great big storm. But you know, he was running away from God. And then we notice all the people around, and in fact all the mariners, all the mariners here, all the people, they were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But listen to this. But Jonah had gone down into the inner parts of the ship, and he was fast asleep. Can we get away from God? What does it say in Psalm 139? Where can we go? Can we flee from God's presence? You know, people today sadly think, well, you know, it doesn't matter. And even Christians sometimes, you know, we think God doesn't know, you know, let's run as far as we can. But we cannot get away from God. And in the end, as we know, verse 15, he went down into the sea. And we find this here so clearly. He went down to the bottom of the sea. They threw him out overboard. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. That's it. That's important. Those men, the pagan men, those on the boat, those around, they feared God. And Jonah, this prophet, you know, what's he doing? Asleep, and in the end they got rid of him. We mustn't, we dare not, we cannot run away from God. And then to make matters worse, as we all know the story, we find the fourth thing. What's the fourth thing? Oh dear me, I've lost the whole lot now. Oh boy, let's go back. No. Oh dear. Let's get back. Sorry? Small one. Right. All right. Then will that bring me back? Oh, come and bring me back, Andrew. Right. Okay. So whilst he's bringing me back. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, we're there. Andrew, that's amazing. Okay. He didn't even touch it. So we see the fourth point, running from God, he went into the belly of the fish, verse 17. Incredible. And we could say, what's he doing there in the belly of a fish? He's there because he was running from God. Right, let me press gently. Please notice this important point. Anytime we run from God, and I mentioned it earlier, We never go up. It's always down. And we don't want to keep going down, do we? We want to keep looking up. We want to keep looking to God. Some of the other points will be a little bit quicker. So it's running away from God. But then secondly, I want you to notice that Jonah now was running to God. And I want you now to notice this particularly in chapter 2. Because here we find in chapter 2, he was running to God. Verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. It sounds incredible just to read that. The thought of being in the belly of the fish, I can't even imagine that myself. You know, the belly of the fish. And this is the path of disobedience. And here it goes on. So he was in the belly of the fish, and in the belly, still on verse 1, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Isn't that incredible? That God didn't give up on this man, his servant. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And surely for us, even this evening, whatever we're going through, however we feel, we've got a God who we can cry out to. And he'll hear us. If we really cry out in repentance and in meaningful prayer to God. And here he was desperate. And because of he was so desperate, he was running to God. We mustn't wait until we're desperate before we run to God. And we're all guilty of that, aren't we? We wait until things build up. And when it builds up and we feel we can't cope, then we run to God. We haven't got to wait. Let's go to the Lord and commit everything to him as we go on. So he was now wanting to follow the Lord. He's now wanting, I say, to run with the Lord. Secondly, running to God. But then, thirdly, I want you to notice this, because it's really interesting. The word of the Lord, look at chapter 3, and I said we were going through each chapter briefly, but look at chapter 3, and don't you find this incredible and reassuring? Verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. You know, that's a key verse, that is. It's key in the whole of the narrative. Because, as I said earlier, God did not give up upon Jonah. And praise God, he doesn't give up on you and me, eh? Had he given up on us, boy, well, where would we be? But for the grace of God, you're here tonight. But for the grace of God, I'm here tonight. Eh? When we look back, we can think of our lives, of so many things. But God's kept us through lots of things, through lots of situations, lots of difficulties. And people on the streets, you know, I hear them talk about it, you know, part life. Well, when we were there, we only did one last year, broke my heart, hoping we can do a bit more this year. But, you know, people say, well, I'll wait until later. Maybe we'll wait and see if there's anything in it. If Jesus comes again, then we'll think about it. Well, it's too late, isn't it? Too late. Today's the day of, what we say, day of grace. We've got the opportunity today. This is why we have the women's event, the men's event, the evangelistic events. Because we want people to know about the Lord Jesus. Little ones at Little Hill, loads coming in, I hear it. Couldn't even get some of the pushchairs in. Praise God for Joy on the team. Don't worry, I don't want to embarrass you, Joy. But it's great, people coming in. Thank God for that. Lots of different people. All the moms and the babies and so on. Praise God. Same on a Thursday. We're getting new ones. But we want more, don't we? Because we've got this great good news that we want the world to hear. And God here, he did not give up upon his servant Jonah. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And it's worth reading this. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Well, he had no choice now, did he? He realized he had messed up now. But so we've got to read on. So Jonah, verse 3, chapter 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. If only he had done that in the first place. He wouldn't have been on a ship. He wouldn't have been cast out of the sea. He wouldn't have been at the bottom there in the belly of a fish. He wouldn't have been all so messed up. Can you identify with that in your life? I certainly can, not in the belly of a fish, but lots of things that we've done and we've messed up. Oh, if only we'd listened the first time. If only we'd followed the Lord. But praise God, I know I'm repeating this quite a bit, God didn't give up on Jonah. So he arose. He went to Nineveh. Yeah, let's read on. Went to Nineveh, that exceedingly great city. 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out. This was the word. This was, is it 8 words here, is it? Or so. This was what he cried out to the people. He prophesied, he predicted. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the message. And he didn't want to go and do that. Why? Why did he go through all what I've just mentioned instead of following the Lord? What a pattern even for us. Let's all be careful. Let's all, you know, the first time round, as we're able, let's say, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I'm not going to try and work things out my way. We want your way. We want to run with you, God. Because that's our point, running with God. We want to follow you, Lord. We don't want to just follow what we want to do. And in the end, and I love this, because this is absolutely incredible, when this word was preached out, sounded out, look at verse 5. Probably one of the greatest revivals. People, we never talk about it in this way to do with the book of Jonah, but actually there was an incredible revival that took place here in the Old Testament, in Jonah. Verse 5, and the people of Nineveh, and it's worth reading several of these verses, and the people of Nineveh believe God. They call for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king. Yeah, the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. Look what he did. Removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Doesn't sound very appetizing. Not something I'd want to do, but you see the severity of it all. Sat in ashes, and he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. And we could read on there. Incredible. Even the king, even the animals, yeah, everything. Put them all away. Let's mourn, we're sinful. And then we find God relented. Verse 10, when God saw what they did. That's what all God asked for, is repentance. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. What a God, what a Savior we have. If only Jonah had followed And in a sense, you would think, great, that's the end of it, you'd almost think. You know, in the end, we got him there. It was hard work, but we got him there. He preached, and the people believed, and maybe Jonah went away and we all live happily ever after. Was that what happened? Did we all live happily ever after? I've seen some heads. No? Yeah? No. No. Why? Well, we look at chapter 4 and look at my fourth heading. Well, actually, my fourth heading. Running ahead of God. Look at chapter 4. This is incredible. But it displeased Jonah a little bit. Is that what it says? A little bit? No. How much? Exceedingly. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Why? And he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. He was angry because there were people who were saved, who turned to God. What right had he got to be angry? How can he be angry with God when you think God had done all this? Save the people. Yes, Jonah was looking back and he thought, I remember these people, these Ninevites, these Assyrians. We were captured years ago and they killed people. I know what they were like. They were vicious and they were what? But Jonah, what about you? You're sinful. You've disobeyed God. I choose. I'm sovereign. Isn't he? God is sovereign. Jonah should have known that. God, because he's sovereign, he'd do as he wills. And God wills in his infinite wisdom to save the people of Nineveh. What right has Jonah got to be displeased and angry with God? What's up with him? It's incredible. Now, there is a place, even we know in Scripture, for righteous anger, because our Lord Jesus, he himself was, remember in the temple, he saw these people gambling and selling and he threw the tables over. Yes, there's a place for righteous anger, but nothing like this here. This is not righteous anger we're talking about. This is just Jonah being really stupid, really. Yeah. Incredible. What's up with him? After God had saved him from the belly of the fish, is this the same person we find in chapter 2? Look at chapter 2. You know, he cried out. His life was at stake. Lord, I'm about to die. I need help. And God saved him. How ungrateful. And you know, sometimes we can be ungrateful. We may not be sounding as harsh as Jonah here, but how many times do we thank God that the fact that we're alive today, we're breathing, we take it for granted, don't we? We expect to be alive. I was completely shattered way back, was it November? My friend of mine, close friend, yeah, Kevin Bronski, been to some of our meetings here. We grew up together, age 11, Boys Brigade camp, everything. I've known him for years. And in November, he was diagnosed with cancer, and it spread, and I couldn't believe it. Yeah, that was November, and 10th of December, that was it. The doctors have said it had so spread that, you know, nothing they can do. And I was in the Royal for about a week with him. It was lovely, actually, because I say it was lovely. I mean, they saw some of the doctors came over and they saw we were praying and not quite singing. Kevin didn't want me to sing, but, you know. And, you know, one of the doctors was asking me, you know, in the end, I was able to talk about the Lord to one of the oncology doctors, you know, saying that life and talking about Kevin. But it was just sudden. It was short and, you know, I was dumbfounded. You know, suddenly my friend, he's not here anymore. And, you know, But we need to thank God, you know, every single day that we're breathing. Don't take your life for granted. Because, you know, we hear of sudden illness. And we just don't know. We don't know about tomorrow. We've just got to thank God for today. And we've got so much to be thankful for. So here was Jonah. Incredible. But as we're drawing towards a close, there's some interesting facts we need to know, and I could say so much more. Despite what we say about Jonah, and we don't want to beat him up too much, and the reason why we don't want to beat him up too much is that it's interesting, actually, and I've got it here, that our Lord Jesus was likened himself to Jonah in some ways. Did you know that? Because I want you to, and I'm not going to give a prize, but in Matthew, and I'll just say in Matthew, and it's actually in Luke as well, but can someone tell me, how is it that Jesus likened himself in some ways to Jonah, with what happened with Jonah? Can anybody tell me? And I'm not trying to quiz anybody. I'm not trying to, you're all looking at the carpet now. And how can anybody tell me? Because the Lord, sorry? The 3 days?
Resurrection.
Yeah, that's right. So that's it. So Jesus says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, and he talks about his death and his resurrection. And in Matthew, for those of you who are making note, Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 to 40, and again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, and in Luke chapter 11, verses 29 to 30. So actually, it's interesting, isn't it, that our Lord, looking back, just as Jonah was, making that point, and he's the only prophet that the Lord likened or, you know, put a similarity to him. Not necessarily to him, because Jonah was sinful. Our Lord wasn't sinful. He was perfect, etc. But Jonah's life was full of storms. Is your life full of storms? God can sort it, really. Even with the storms, he had the storms. He had the lots, L-O-T-S, the cast lots, didn't they? He had the sailors, the problems. He had the fish to deal with. He had Ninevites to deal with. And we're not even mentioned later on in chapter 4 how he was so moaning here that after he had done this amazing task, he built. There was this hut that he had built, and the Lord had caused a plant to shield him because it was hot. And even then he was moaning. And in the end, the Lord, a worm came and eat up the plant and so on. We haven't got time to go into that. That's another sermon. But he was still moaning and groaning, even when the Lord protected him from the heat. And we've all got to really watch it, because this fierce anger, no other word. You look at chapter 4 and verse 1, we see despondency, verse 1. Verse 3, he said, Lord, take my life. Ready to die. Incredible. Now, is it that we say, and some people often say, when God has so used someone in a mighty way, 120,000 plus people saved, incredible revival. Sometimes people can draw away, and they suddenly feel, and they feel they almost want to run away from it. And there is a sense where someone's being used, and they then want to withdraw. But it was almost more than that with Jonah. Despondency, chapter 4, verse 1. Take my life, chapter 4, verse 3. And then, great joy, if you look at verse 6, because the Lord appointed a plant. I've just said I'm not going to go into it, but it's just worth, there's a plant just to protect him. And you thought, well, he'd be happy. But then despondency came again. Verse 8, when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching wind again to help him, to ease it. And the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die. And said, is it better to die than to live? And but God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for you, for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. So ungrateful. No, it's not, you know. Nor did you make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city? And this is the point that Jonah, he missed all along. That great city in which there are more than 120,000 people. And as we finish, we've all got our Jonahs, haven't we? Sorry, we've all got our Ninevehs in our lives. And God wants us to go. If you love the Lord, you know, we want to follow him, don't we? We want to do what he wants us to do. And I've talked ahead of all my stuff there, but we'll leave it there. Let's follow the Lord as he guides us. Let's be prepared to be guided by God. You know, we don't want to follow the world and the world's way. And can we not all say tonight, praise God that he's not given up on us. Eh? So remember that. He's not given up on us. And yes, I've been a bit longer tonight. But what a God we have. He's great. He's amazing. And he loves us just as we are. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you are. We thank you that you're a great God. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll help us in all that we do to look to you and to you alone. May we trust you. May we ever rejoice in this God of our salvation, that you loved us and gave yourself for us. And Lord, Jonah, yes, when the going got tough, he realized how much he wanted to follow you. But Lord, help us not to be angry with you. Help us to be grateful to you for all that you have done and for all that you mean to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn, and I want you to look at verses 3 and 4, and I'll read verse 3. It's an older hymn. It's a hymn we don't sing so much, but, you know, oh, for a closer walk with God. Look at verse 3. What peaceful hours. Can you say that? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memories still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill. And Rich, if we could just go to verse 4 and 5, unless I'm messing your order up. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from thy breast. And maybe there's an idol, there's something that we're holding on to. Maybe we're not following the Lord and being as obedient as we ought. And you know, our work can be an idol. Our money, our possession, our hobbies, all these things can be an idol. If there's something stopping us being what God wants us to be, let's get rid of it so that God has all the glory. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Thank you. Thank you, Rich. Thank you. us that obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings misery. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to want to follow you and be obedient to your call, even in our lives, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.